This is Golf Talk Canada, Canada's only national golf talk radio and TV program. Presented by TaylorMade. Golf has a new game-changing number. Experience TaylorMade speed with the forgiveness of 10K inertia with the all-new QI 10 Max. Only from TaylorMade. Visit TaylorMadeGolf.ca to learn more about the QI 10 Carbon Woods. Now, here are your hosts, Mark Sacchino, Bob Weeks, and Adam Scully.
Good morning, Canada. Welcome inside another edition and another week of shows here on Golf Talk Canada. Adam Scully alongside Bob Weeks. Mark Sacchino not here for most of the show. Mark will join us in about 90 minutes' time as he has another commitment today. Bob, how are you this morning? How was the weekend?
Weekend was good. It was not golf quite weather for me anyway, but but there are some courses open, and I got to see some nice golf. Got some good finishes on the board with both men's and women's. I know we're going to get into them all, but good weekend. Good weekend overall.
Definitely good weekend overall, and you mentioned city courses open. We'll get into that a little later in the show too. And Bob, I was doing a little pre-scout, looking at the forecast for the Masters in Augusta National. It looks very good, but have you seen the forecast in the Toronto area the same weekend? Temperature 17 to 20 degrees Celsius, Masters weekend, so who knows? Maybe we'll start to hear some announcements about some of the private courses, other courses opening in the Toronto area. But another nice day here in the GTA. Knock on wood, hopefully the snow is gone for good. But you never know. You never know. I mean, it is April Fool's Day, Bob. I was actually, we were on a call about an hour ago talking about funny April Fool's pranks. And I got pranked for a little bit because someone on Twitter, or X as they call it now, it was a Rory McIlroy account, tweeted out that Rory had withdrawn this week due to a wrist injury. And I almost copy and pasted said tweet into our group text. And then I took a deep breath because that has not happened. Have you ever fooled anyone in a big way with April Fools? Because I know, Bob, you've got a dark sense of humor sometimes.
I used to be with Score Golf Magazine. I used to do a sort of a regular column online, more of a blog, I guess. And every year on April Fool's, I would try to put something out that was just realistic enough that people would kind of go and maybe forget for a minute that what the date on the calendar was. And the one that didn't go over too well was I had a big furor on our big story on Mike Weir was switching to right-handed, so everyone caught on to that one pretty quick. But a couple that people didn't catch on to that quick was one I said that the Canadian government had mandated that all golf courses in Canada must now show their yardages in meters, the distances in meters instead of yardages. And that got a lot of people upset. And then I had one where I said that the world was running out of Sirlin, so there was going to be a massive golf ball shortage. The golf ball companies love me for that one because if they would all go in and grab it. And I can't remember the other one. Jamie Rydell brought another one up on our call this morning, but I don't really. But anyway, there were always used to be a good fun. I've kind of stopped it, although I did think today about maybe saying that Corey Connors, Adam Hadwin, Nick Taylor, Mackenzie Hughes had all left the PGA Tour for LIV, and they were going to be starting an all-Canadian team called the Beavers. So
probably a good thing you didn't put that out.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
I would have taken the over-under on internet exploding at about 42 seconds if you had posted that. But thankfully, you did not. But you mentioned busy weekend in the world of golf. PGA Tour world number one, Scottie Scheffler, comes up just short. A number of great finishes all around in the world of golf, starting with Nelly Korda, though. The world number one wins her third straight, and she begins things with our news and headlines.
News and headlines are brought to you by Sandbagger Hard Seltzer. Sandbagger, everybody knows one.
Well, Bob, we spent a lot of last Wednesday's show talking about two top-ranked players in the world, PGA Tour Scottie Scheffler, LPGA Tour Nelly Korda. What did they have in common last week? They were both going for three straight wins. I can't remember the last time we could have said that about two top-ranked players in the world, but in the end, it was Nelly Korda coming from behind for the victory, her third straight win. Just overall, like, how impressive is this feat, Bob? Because this hasn't been done in 8 years on the LPGA Tour.
Yeah, it's very impressive, and I think one of the things that we might may overlook a little bit is the strength of field in the LPGA Tour events. You know, basically all the top players play all the events. I would say, you know, they all miss one or two here or there, but generally speaking, the strength of field, if you look at the Rolex rankings and you look at the entry list for most tournaments, you'll see a pretty deep field. So she's beating quality players, and I mean, you just have to look at the leaderboard and you can see that. Names that were in the hunt on Sunday in terms of Lydia Ko and Lexi Thompson, and so that so she's not only, you know, winning, but she's winning against the best in the game, where nothing against what Scottie Scheffler was trying to do, but that there wasn't that deep of a field that they had in Houston. Still, you know, winning is winning. It's always tough, and every player is will tell you that, but I just think that that's the extra spark that for Nelly Korda that really makes it impressive.
And really interesting as well how, you know, she wins after taking 6 or 7 weeks off, 3 weeks of that not touching the clubs. Now she's back. She's won back-to-back weeks. I know the LPGA Tour calendar out of the gates was stop and start a little different, if you will, but how impressive is that feat overall too, Bob, to put the clubs away totally? And to come back, shake off any rust whatsoever, and win back-to-back weeks and now 3 straight weeks.
I mean, it's remarkable to be that consistent. Like everybody took that, not everybody, a lot of players took that time off, didn't go over to Asia. But you're right. I mean, to be able to stop for 6 weeks tournament golf, not even play for 3.5 weeks, as Nelly did, and then come out and just roll them off. And her play is spectacular. I mean, every part of her game. And she has, let's face it, she's got one of the best looking swings in golf, period. And I think everything she has done so far is kind of what we expected she might be able to do a few years ago, but now she's really sort of blossoming into this dominant player. And she's got a major in not 2 weeks, but in two more starts. They got the match play this week and then a week off with the Masters, and then she'll be in the major, the
Well,
Chevron.
we had the conversation last week on SportsCenter in Speed Golf, and I asked you the question, can Nelly Korda dominate the LPGA Tour like Scottie Scheffler currently is on the PGA Tour? I think it's safe to say the answer is yes. I mean, she's done something that we haven't seen in quite some time. This is such an impressive feat for Nelly Korda. But overall, let's just say, Bob, that the world of golf has been in a weird place for the last upwards of 2 years, a lot of bickering, a lot of drama, a lot of money talk. And sure, there have been some great stories over the last couple of years, but this has been dominated, this era of golf, I'll call it, has been dominated by controversy. But looking at this story, Nelly Korda in particular, how much does the game of golf overall need an awesome story like this?
It never hurts to have a dominant player because a dominant player gets a lot of attention, and whether that is male, female. And you see the same thing with Scottie Scheffler. There was a lot of attention posted on his play. There was a lot of attention posted on his bad putter before, but it takes away from the non the off course dealings and shenanigans and whatever you want to call it. So I think it's very important that you have a player, a marquee player playing great golf. And the only thing that could probably make it better would be if you had like a rivalry with two players doing it. And I think it would be wouldn't it be kind of cool to see Nelly and Scotty team up for the Grant Thornton in the fall? I mean, that would be a good story too.
And wouldn't it be cool, let's say we've had a conversation a couple of weeks ago about team golf in the Olympics. Imagine Scottie Scheffler and Nelly Korda together in the Olympics. That would be awesome. And before we turn the page on this, you mentioned this a little earlier, this week on the LPGA Tour, a different format, match play, Wednesday start. This is going to be a tough turnaround for Nelly Korda playing a totally different style of golf, but hey, she's riding the hot hand, Bob. How do you assess her chances to go for the four-peat?
You gotta like it. I mean, match play or stroke play, if she's playing good golf, then she should be able to handle this. And we'll see who she gets drawn against in that side. I don't think we've seen that yet, but I think we're seeing that today. And the makeup of the format's a little different, so it's definitely a different beast. And you have to, in some ways, it can be better because you can have one bad hole or two bad holes and still, you know, still win in match play. That's why I love match play. So it's going to be fun to watch, but there'll be a lot of eyes on her, a lot of attention on her, that's for sure. And that itself can start to smother a good performance.
Nelly Korda, the first player to win three of her first four starts in an LPGA season since Lorena Ochoa back in 2008. So it's been quite some time. Let's hear now from Nelly Korda after winning her third straight LPGA tournament.
Yeah, I mean, I think it was definitely one of my least stressful wins today. I just played really solid golf, didn't make really too many mistakes, and if I did, I just had a chip, kind of a straightforward chip. Overall, I capitalized on majority of my really good shots out there today and made some good putts as well. So overall, I was very, very pleased with how I played today in the tough conditions. Just really enjoying myself out there. I mean, I love golf. I've always loved golf. I mean, sometimes it's harder than other days. Last year was definitely one of the harder years. I never really got any momentum going with injuries and such the past 2 years, in all honesty. And I would say the reset that I had after Bradenton really, really helped me. I really enjoyed my time off, spent a lot of time with my family, went back to Prague, enjoyed kind of life outside of golf a little, just disconnected. And to me, that was just like the perfect reset going into this like busy schedule. I think this is, I don't know, I've been a professional golfer since 2016. And when you get ahead of yourself, I mean, it's just never going to be positive. So I'm going to take it one tournament at a time, stay very present. It's worked pretty well so far. Sometimes it's much harder than others. Your self-expectations, expectations around you too, but I'm going to try and stay in my own little bubble and see how it goes. And I've definitely grown and matured a lot as well. Some of the decisions that maybe Jay and I would make on the golf course, being a little riskier, we don't try to do in contention. Or I would just say in general, the appreciation for the life that I get to live out here, travel, play in front of fans, inspire the next generation, definitely appreciate that more.
Great stuff there from Nelly Korda, who's now won three straight on the LPGA Tour, looking for her fourth straight this week in match play. Now, whenever we talk about the LPGA Tour in a big way, we focus, of course, on Brooke Henderson, who finishes T26. And she had a really good chance going, I would say, Bob, in the second round. She was 5-under through six holes, where everyone was going low before the bad weather came in, as Nelly was just talking about during her press conference. Brooke goes bogey, double bogey, bogey through 14, 15, 16 in round two. Regardless, still a T26 finish where she didn't have her A game for some of this tournament. You've got to think that a win, another shot into contention is coming very soon for Brooke, no?
Yeah, I mean, I think she's playing well. There was a little, obviously, a bit of a bump there, and not something that she would normally do. And you wonder, you know, kind of what happened. I'm not sure if there's anything you can put your finger on, but it is a solid performance. And you look at her numbers, you know, some of the putting numbers were a little higher than I think she likes, but she's still hitting lots of greens. She had 14, 15, 13, and 15 through the 4 days. Hitting lots of fairways. She missed two the first day, two the second day, one the third day, and two the fourth day. So, you know, you can look and see what she's doing, and it's still pretty good golf. This was a golf course where there was a lot of low numbers out there, so they were certainly going hard at that. And then, but I think you're right. I think, you know, I think she's in a good spot with her game and just needs a good week, and we'll see what happens this week with the. I don't know I want to call it match play, but it's kind of a modified match play, I guess, right? Three rounds of stroke play followed by match play after that. So it's kind of, we'll see what happens this week.
Interesting format there. Something that people have asked about for the PGA Tour's Tour Championship for quite some time, maybe to switch things up. Let's keep a close eye on this format, see how it works and onwards here. But before we talk about Scottie Scheffler in our next segment, we have to talk about Elena Sharp, because she finishes T35 here, a good week, her best finish on the LPGA Tour since last July. And this was a home game too, Bob. So a cool finish for Elena Sharp, who played a lot of great golf throughout the week.
Seville Golf Course is her home place. She knows it very well. She made a lot of birdies. I don't think she had enough maybe firepower to keep up with the Nelly Cordas and the Lexi Thompsons of the world, but it was a great performance by her. And I think in a good way, I think it's a boost for her to know her game is still, you know, pretty solid. I think we'll all be accepting of the fact that she's in the last few holes of her career as a touring pro. She said that. She's told me she's not going back to Q school if she doesn't get her card back. You know, she's in her 40s now, and she often says that she's pretty much the oldest person in the field when she is playing in these events. But I think this week showed that she still has some game and she's still able to get it around the golf course. So she's working hard at it. I think she's got her eye on the Olympics, be a third time Olympian. So we'll see if that pans out for her. But she got a great following with her local members as well, which was nice to see.
Rounds of 67, 70, 68, 72. You mentioned the Olympics. That is certainly on her calendar. Bob, I remember interviewing Elena before the 2020 Olympics, played in 2021, of course. And when I mentioned, how does it sound, two-time Olympian, I think she was pretty speechless by that. So, I mean, Olympians, it's a really awesome thing that golf is back in the Olympics. And hopefully Elena Sharp can play her way onto Team Canada for the Olympics later this summer. When we come back here on GTC, someone who I would think is going to play in the Olympics, Scottie Scheffler, came up just a little short looking for his third straight win. We'll debrief his performance at the Texas Children's Houston Open next, right here, Golf Talk Canada.
This segment of GTC was presented by TaylorMade and the new QI10 Carbon Woods. Experience TaylorMade speed with the forgiveness of 10K inertia with the all-new QI10 Max. Only from TaylorMade. This is Golf Talk Canada, presented by TaylorMade. This segment of GTC is brought to you by Movember, the official men's health partner of Golf Talk Canada. You can get involved and help change the face of men's health by visiting Movember.com today.
Welcome back inside GTC. Scully and Weeks here. Zucchino joining us in about an hour and 10 minutes time. Well, on the PGA Tour that wrapped up yesterday, Scottie Scheffler was looking for the three-peat. Hadn't been done on the PGA Tour since 2017, but came up oh so just short. Before we talk about Scottie Scheffler, let's hear about Scottie Scheffler, particularly after missing that short birdie putt on 18.
I didn't think it was going to move very much, and I tried to hit it straight, and I felt like I started right in the middle, and looked like it broke off pretty hard, so just a misread, sadly. You know, I'll move on as quickly as possible. You know, obviously I'm a bit disappointed right now, but at the end of the day, like, it would be one thing if I pulled it or something like that. I just misread it. I don't know why I misread it, but, you know, it happens as part of the game. You know, maybe I could have hit it with some more speed, but I felt like I hit a nice putt, you know, kind of how I wanted to, and best thing going.
So at least off the get-go, Bob, when I was watching it live, Scheffler on 18, it looked, in my mind anyway, it looked like he pulled it. Scheffler said he didn't pull it. What do you think?
I we were texting back and forth during that time, and I thought, like you, that maybe he'd given it a little bit of a yank. But then when I watched it again, it looks to me like he just misread it, and it just broke left. He wasn't expecting it to, or he didn't play enough break. But I think you can read a lot into that one putt, and yes, it would have gotten him into a playoff, and yes, you know, he could have won the playoff. But if you look overall at his overall week, you know, he finished up, I think it was 37th in strokes gained putting. He had two good days, two not so good days. And if I'm Scottie Scheffler and that's what I'm taking into Augusta National, then I'm probably pretty satisfied. Yes, I would have liked to win. You'd never like to let those things slip away. And apparently, not apparently, he is super competitive. Scotty, he just, you know, whether you're playing for $5 or whatever, he just likes to win. So I'm sure that irked him. But I think overall, his game is in a good spot as he gets ready to head to the Masters.
From a Scheffler perspective, I know he's obviously disappointed that he didn't win for the third straight time, but could it almost be a good thing for him that he'll be going into the Masters sort of kind of with a chip on his shoulder? Because, you know, he's heading in where the last shot he hit in competition was a missed putt with a chance to make a playoff. Maybe, or am I reading a little too far into that? I might be.
I think if he hadn't won the 2 weeks before, we might be having that conversation. It might be a bit of bigger thing than it is. But, you know, he's won the last two. He's world number one. He, in his mind, I think, feels that he's figured out his putting to the capacity where he can be competitive. Obviously, putting on Augusta National Greens is a whole different can of worms. But I don't know. I don't think he's going to spend too much time worrying about that one putt that cost him a spot in a playoff. Yeah, it's a big miss. Sure it is. But when you're playing like he is, and when you've got the two wins the week before, and when you generally are putting pretty well, then I don't think it's going to be too much of a weight to carry as he gets to Augusta.
And a very interesting week as well for Scottie Scheffler on Friday, second round, got about 6 feet. And three putts later, his 28th consecutive under par round on the PGA Tour was gonzo. And the second putt was maybe a foot and a half, maybe. And I don't know, that was jarring to me. It's always jarring when you see a professional golfer miss a tap-in. But to do it and to snap that long streak, I'm actually surprised that's not in our Winners, Weird, and What this week, Bob, because that was kind of crazy.
Yeah, I mean, it's a great streak to have, right? If you can go and keep shooting under par, under par, under par. And I'm not sure if he's getting as much credit as he deserves for how well he is playing right now and how much he is pushing himself out in front. If you look at the world rankings, you know, he's first of all, he's playing a lot of golf, which is a good thing for the PGA Tour and for fans. But I do think that some of the stuff that he's put together, I think last week I had on Golf Talk Canada TV, I had a number where there's 28 different categories where he was number one in statistics, and that includes the FedEx Cup. But, you know, it's ridiculous how good he is playing right now. And maybe, you know, that the record that lapsed with that foot and a half miss is just one of many that will have to sort of fall aways over the next 6 months or so. But I'm sure that he's going to find, you know, another half a dozen or a dozen categories where he can lead. I'm sure he'd love to get up into putting categories, but that would be really scary if he ever did that.
Yeah, it would almost be to take a line from Roger Maltby back in 2000 at the U.S. Open. Not a fair fight, maybe, if Scottie Scheffler could go and work on the putting, make it even better than it has been with the new putter change. And something else I noticed with Scheffler this week that I personally hadn't seen in quite some time, frustration. He threw a club in the second round, too. There was a couple different shots where par three late on Saturday where you could audibly hear him say, like, what can I do here? The ball spun back after being 10, 15 feet away from the hole. Have you ever seen Scheffler show that kind of frustration, Bob?
He did have one a couple of weeks ago where he kind of, I don't know what you call it, threw a club, but he dropped a club in anger. And that's the reputation that he has, is a very, even though he is a very, I don't know, maybe a quiet kind of guy off the golf course. You know, he's doesn't have a big head. He doesn't do a lot of big fist pumps when he's on the golf course, but he does have a temper. And there were some stories going this week with between him and Bo Hostler, where Bo said that they got into a bit of a tiff because one thought the other one was away, or and he hit the wrong ball, and it's kind of a story there, and how mad he got, but he dropped it after the round was over. It was when they were in college, I think. So I think there is a little bit of fire underneath all that calm temperament that you see most of the time.
Well, he's a fascinating guy. He's the top-ranked golfer in the world on the men's side. Scottie Scheffler right now, the overwhelming favorite heading into the Masters. Well, Scheffler came up just short to Steven Yeager, who wins for the first time on the PGA Tour. We'll discuss Steven Yeager and the other notables at the Texas Children's Houston Open, including Mackenzie Hughes, who comes up short in his bid to qualify for the Masters. This is Golf Talk Canada.
This segment of GTC presented by TaylorMade was brought to you by Movember, the official men's health partner of Golf Talk Canada. You can get involved and help change the face of men's health by visiting Movember.com today. This is Golf Talk Canada, presented by TaylorMade. This segment of GTC is brought to you by WeatherTech Canada, Canada's leader in automotive accessories. Visit weathertech.ca.
Welcome back inside Golf Talk Canada. Adam Scully alongside Bob Weeks. Well, Steven Yeager, a winner for the first time on the PGA Tour, and none of us had Steven Yeager on our PGA Tour picks team this past week. Bob, I will take the fall for picking Scottie Scheffler. I was the reason he did not win. I have never taken him. In fact, I've never taken the pre-tournament betting favorite. But a plus 300, the competitive side of me knew that I don't like being in last. So, I mean, I've got to say, Bob, I got to ask you before we get Steven Yeager. You're leading right now. I think you led last year. Do you have any secret sauce here?
No, I did pick Steven Yeager earlier in the year for, I think, at the Century. Or the Sony Open, I think I maybe picked him for that. He came. He's had a couple of good top five finishes. He's a guy who kind of rebuilt his game in the last year or so. He got a new coach, got a new caddy, he got a new sports psychologist. He's been working on speed training. So he's really sort of decided that he didn't want to be sort of wallowing in this area where he was 130-something tournaments played without a win. And I think he wanted to get over the win. And you could see, again, second week in a row where you saw a lot of emotion from the winner, which I think was great. You had it with Peter Malnati when he got his win. And when you see this one, I mean, it's remarkable for these guys how much it means. And, yeah, we don't know these guys all that well. But now you're starting to see, I think, some really human stories that come out of this PGA Tour, even when we don't have the deepest of fields.
Yeah, and I'm interested you said that too, and because looking at the world of golf now, and you know, clearly things are in a strange time with the PGA Tour, with LIV, with PIF, who knows where these discussions have gone. And a lot of people have said, a lot of people I know, in fact, I'm in group chats with people who say, hey, I'm not watching this. I don't care who's playing. It's okay. Well, that's your opinion. You're allowed to have that. But there's a cycle in the world of golf. This time last year, Bob, we were not having a discussion about Ludvig Åberg. A lot of people didn't know who he was. The year before, or 2 years before, Will Zalatoris, same thing. So new blood is coming here on the PGA Tour in the world of golf, where these players who have decided to leave the PGA Tour and are past their prime, who have given us a lot of great highlights, memories. I'm thinking of guys like Ian Poulter in the Ryder Cup, Lee Westwood, Henrik Stenson, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I personally think it's a great thing. It's a great thing to have new blood. It's awesome to hear these new stories. It's cool watching Peter Malnati win at 350-1 using a yellow ball and wearing a bucket hat. I don't know. I think that's pretty cool. What do you think about this new blood coming on the PGA Tour?
It happens. It happens all the time. And listen, there are periods where you go through something like this. I think it's exacerbated these days because of the signature events. So you have these fields where there's a lot of players that, unless you're guys like you and me, Adam, who cover the game for a living, you know, you might not know who Steven Yeager is. You might not know his story, how he was born in Germany and moved to the States. And I mean, it's a really interesting story, or Peter Malnati's story, and what an emotional guy he is. So I can understand the group chat that you're in, why people sit there going, well, I don't know any of these guys. Well, maybe you will in a couple of weeks, or maybe you should dig a little deeper and just read a story about some of these guys and you'll find out. It's not going to happen. Like I'm being, I think a little bit naive to think that everyone's going to know, you know, who Alejandro Toste was and that kind of stuff. But you're right. We may be talking about these guys at the end of this year as guys who've won major championships.
100%, and there's a major, hey, next week on the men's game at the Masters, which, by the way, Steven Yeager has earned his way into, which is awesome. Let's hear now from Steven Yeager after winning for the first time on the PGA Tour.
Feels amazing. I couldn't have dreamed up a better week to do it. Obviously, we've been playing Scotty last couple of days. He's been on a tear. So to kind of slay the dragon a little bit this week was amazing. And he's such a good dude, such a good player. I was just happy to play with him a couple of days. Yeah, you know, the goals remain the same in a sense. You know, like my goal has been playing as well as I can the entire year, and it changes a couple of tournaments that I get in easier. I'm excited for that. I'm excited to kind of get on that next level and compete in majors and do all that kind of stuff. That's been my goal for a few years now. So, like I said, super excited, obviously, this week to get it done. And, have a great rest of the year.
Steven Yeager opened the week at 40-1 plus 4,000 on FanDuel. Yet another winner of the long shot variety on the PGA Tour this year. And before we turn the page on Steven Yeager, Bob, did you see any of the videos of Steven Yeager actually doing some of the training in the gym? Because it's really cool. So you haven't seen it. So there's a lot of great video where he's doing some plyometrics, Mark's new favorite. Boy, I can't wait to hear more about Mark's fitness journey on Wednesday's show. But some plyometrics, some medicine ball work. And then there are stuff where you have to, if you want to get stronger, well, you need to bench press, deadlift, that sort of thing. So these videos are online. And if you want to get faster, you've got to train for it. And Steven Yeager has put on, what I have read, 6 miles per hour of clubhead speed and 20 yards.
That's a lot.
In 2 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. That's big. I mean, that's what you have to do, though. That's why, the way you have to keep up these days. You can't do anything else because everyone else is in the gym doing it. So if you're not, then you're falling behind.
Yep, absolutely. And someone else who showed a lot of strength, a lot of personality, we'll put it that way, throughout the week, and has in his young career so far, is Alejandro Tosti, who came up just short. Here's a guy, not the tallest guy in the world, but absolutely rips it off the tee into, he had a driver pitching wedge into a 570-yard par 5 on the 16th hole. I know it was really downwind, but still, a driver P-dub into 570. That's pretty good. Alejandro Tosti, though, he's had some controversy in his past, we'll put it that way, and we saw some of that on Saturday during the third round in a what was called an icy exchange with Tony Finau. Did you see what happened here, Bob?
Yeah, they were they sort of got off to a bad start with, they were talking about who was away on one hole, and that didn't go over well. Then there was another one on the putting green where Tosti had suggested he was away. He ended up making his putt, and he did kind of a, I guess he overemphasized his celebration a little bit, and he's started to piss off Tony Finau. And if you are getting him upset, like, Tony Finau is the nicest human being on the face of the earth. So if you're getting him riled up, then I would say, boy, you must be really doing something. But this is a reputation that Tosti has. And apparently they were good by the time they finished up. But there was not a lot of love lost there. And I've understood that with Tosti, was texting with somebody yesterday who said, you either love him or you hate him. There's not a lot of middle ground with this guy. And he's certainly a talented golfer, though. May, it's as you said, he can really rip that ball.
And the backswing isn't all that long, too, but boy, oh boy, he just thrashes it through impact. Let's hear from Alejandro Tosti after a T2 at the Texas Children's Houston Open.
Super happy. I mean, I dream about this, having this opportunity like today. It was, of course, the first one, and I know that I'm going to have revenge, and I'm going to be in this position many times. I mean, I don't think that I played amazingly good. Like you said, I've been dealing with a lot of stuff. I had not my best tournament for sure, but I'm really happy with the result and knowing that I can do it out there. I mean, I was playing the shots that I was wanting. I was missing all my irons to the left, which is something that I'd been trying to work on my clubs. And it was better this week, but I still have some work to do. I think coming down the stretch, he was really fun. He was really fun to be out there with all the people, first time ever with so many people around. Being in contention for the tournament, that's what I worked so hard for all my life. And just to be able to have the opportunity and leave it in in blood, you know, it's just priceless.
Some interesting perspective there from Alejandro Tosti, who certainly on Saturday and in the past too, he has received a lot of flack online for the controversies, the disruptions he has caused. And before hearing those comments, I was almost on the opinion that, hey, maybe this could be the next quote-unquote villain on the PGA Tour, a big personality. But this guy seems pretty happy-go-lucky, Bob. I don't know. This seems like a pretty cool story overall.
Yeah, I think he's just got a little bit of a hot temper, and I think he likes to grind. And he's probably, you know, he's got limited PGA Tour experience, so maybe he needs to kind of learn the conduct of a PGA Tour player. There are suspensions for guys who you know, break the rules and spout off a little bit, but we'll see. I mean, if the guy keeps playing the way he is, we're going to see a lot more of him, that's for sure.
And another guy we've seen a lot of in the last number of years is Tony Finau, who finished T2 last week. It was his best finish of the season. His previous best finish was a T6 at the Farmers Insurance Open. And clearly that exchange with Finau, with Tosti, affected Finau negatively on Saturday. He just didn't have his best stuff. And what do you think right now of Tony Finau overall? He's got all the ball speed in the world, but when he's on the greens, Bob, he's really, there's a lot of movement. There's a lot of fidgeting. I'm finding his putter's going back and forth a lot. And it looks like the heel of his putter is on the ground, and it's a really short, jabby, I would almost call that, stroke. What do you think right now of Tony Finau?
You know, it's kind of the way when you see the way he swings, and he's got kind of a wristy sort of warm up, I guess, which is interesting when you sort of, I don't know, when you see the way he hits it and the power he generates, and it's just sort of he's so big, and his hands, by the other way, are so big. And when you look at his grip, I mean, that lower hand is really turned under on the grip, but he gets it through, and he just generates so much speed with his, I think more with his wrists than just about anybody else on the PGA Tour. But on the greens, he's been really just super cold and hasn't been able to try and find anything. But I just, this finish, this performance might be the start of some, seeing some of the benefits of some of the hard work he's been putting in. I know he's been spending a lot of time trying to figure things out and grind it out, because as you said, it's a mediocre start, and that's not what we expect from Tony Finau. I sort of think of him as being in the top echelon of PGA Tour players, but when you look at his results this year, that doesn't really show up.
This guy, he's played on team events for the US 2, both President's Cups, Ryder Cups. He was nowhere to be found last year, even in the discussion about the US Ryder Cup team. So Tony Finau, let's see if that short game can get shored up here for Finau moving forward. Now, from a Canadian angle, Mackenzie Hughes. This was a big story we discussed both on television, both on radio. Last week, he had a great chance at the Valspar Championship, a two-shot lead with 9 holes to go. Couldn't get it done. Finishes T14 this past week at the Texas Children's Houston Open. And he's not playing this week at the Valero Texas Open. Is that surprising to you, Bob?
Not really. I think that, you know, it would be a long shot for him at this point, and he'd be coming in off of 4 weeks. So he's got to take a break. And I think realistically, getting to the Masters was really something he had to do 2 weeks ago and this past week. You know, you can run the lottery and try to get in by winning the tournament, or maybe, I don't know what he would need, probably again the same thing, second place or maybe even a little bit better. So I think he realized, okay, it's not going to happen this year. Let's go back and reset. Because to me, when I'm watching him swing and when I'm watching him play, it looks like he's sort of still at the point, like he's been working with a new coach, and it looks like to me he's working on, you know, he's thinking about what has to happen, not just doing it, if that makes sense. And especially on the tee. So when you see his tee shots, you know, when he hits them good, they're great. And he did have some good results off the tee. He was positive strokes gained in rounds. Well, except for the third round, he was basically even. And his putting was just more or less hot or cold too. That was a little bit of a strange one. Like in the second round, he lost over 4 shots in putting. So I think there's a bit of a reset that's going to start after the Masters now. And I think you'll see Mac play more of those more consistently when he starts to groove these small changes that he's making in and he doesn't have to play golf swing. He can just play golf.
Yeah, that's the big thing. I was going to make the point about golf swing versus just playing golf. You saw that in particular on that back nine at the Valspar Championship off the tee, the par five, when he sort of steered it. He was trying to not miss it left, and sort of it wasn't quite Mito Pereira last year at the PGA, or a couple of years ago at the PGA Championship, but that follow through that we'll never see anything like that in the history of time. But he was definitely steering it off the tee. Mackenzie Hughes, 43rd overall strokes gained putting last week, 32nd strokes gained off the tee. But looking ahead now for Mac Hughes, when you spoke with Graham Dillette, who worked with Mackenzie Hughes' current caddy, Julian Trudeau, he said something good is coming soon for Mac, and a couple of great finishes, a T2, a T3rd, T14. You got to think Mac's going to be back in the winner's circle, especially the motivation coming here forward with the Olympics and the President's Cup too.
Yeah, he's got a lot on his plate, obviously, to think about and goals he wants to achieve. Those after the round, though, you think about though, you don't think about that obviously when you're teeing off. But I think that he is in a place where he knows he's headed in the right direction. He goes through, you know, he's worked with a lot of different coaches over the years, and he's one of those guys who sort of changes it up, and then for a while he likes to just try and do it on his own, and he tries different things. I remember a couple of years ago he's working on speed as much as he could, and then he sort of went back away from that. So he's sort of a fidgety guy, I guess you could call it, when he's trying to find what's going to work for him. But you got to like where he is right now. The last couple of starts with some good finishes and some of the best finishes he's had of this season so far. As I said before, I think he knows he's on the right track, and obviously his caddy knows that as well.
Sixth in strokes gained, tee to green last week at the Texas Children's Houston Open. Let's see Mac back on the PGA Tour in a couple of weeks' time. When we come back here on GTC, someone who had a couple of great duels with Tiger Woods in the mid-2000s, had some interesting comments last week about PGA Tour champions and LIV Golf, and that is Chris DeMarco. We'll get into those comments next.
This segment of GTC, presented by TaylorMade, was brought to you by WeatherTech Canada, Canada's leader in automotive accessories. This is Golf Talk Canada, presented by TaylorMade. This segment of GTC is brought to you by Play Golf Myrtle Beach, home to 80 great courses, 60 miles of sandy shores, endless dining and entertainment. Visit PlayGolfMyrtleBeach.com to start planning your golf trip today.
Back inside GTC, wrapping up hour one, the back nine here on GTC. And stay tuned to our social media channels a little later in the week where, let's just say, we've got a big announcement where a lot of people are going to be pretty thrilled about what they're going to see on our social media channels. And it's something that we've done here on the show for the last number of years. That's all I'm going to say on this announcement. Stay tuned to our social media channels a little later in the week where you'll have a chance to win some really, really cool stuff. I'm sure people can understand where I'm going. I'm not going to say exactly what we're announcing, but you can probably get the drift from there. Anyways, Chris DeMarco made some, call it interesting, comments last week. He was on Golf Subpar, popular podcast with Colt Nost, who is the main host there. And he's on our station here a number of times here, TSN Radio. But Chris DeMarco, who many forget, Bob, that he was the guy who came up just short to Tiger in 2005, where Tiger hit arguably the most famous shot of his career, where Chris DeMarco came up short. And, I mean, here's a guy, before we get into these comments, Chris DeMarco had a really good career on the PGA Tour in the majors. He was a President's Cupper, but he couldn't quite get it done, eh, Bob?
Well, he started on the Canadian Tour as well. He was a Canadian Tour player and graduated up, but, has sort of was really good player, but never maybe a great player, but super nice guy most of the time that I've interactions that I had with him. And I'm not sure if it's he's just PO'd at what's going on right now with all the talk on money, but certainly came out with some statements that to me are, I don't know, unfounded, I guess. It's kind of hard to get actually what's driving the comments that he made. And basically he said that the LIV should have bought Champions Tour, and put more money into it because they're not making a lot of money on the Champions Tour. He is right. They're not paying for big purses. But again, you know, it comes down to a lot of different factors. One of them is television. If you're not drawing a lot of eyeballs, then you're not going to do that. And the Champions Tour really is, I don't know, it's sort of like the old folks home for great golfers. And there's some good golf out there, but I don't know if people actually watch it to see great golf or to see great golfers, if that makes sense.
Totally. And see some of their favorite players of the past, if you will, see and contend and compete. And those comments that you referenced, here are some of them, and I quote, "We're kind of hoping that LIV buys the Champions Tour. Let's play for a little real money out here. I mean, this is kind of a joke. When we're getting $2 million, that's the overall purse, there were like seven guys at TPC Sawgrass, the $25 million Players Championship purse, that made more money than our purses." Chris DeMarco then went on to bash PGA Tour Commissioner Jay Monahan, who a number of current PGA Tour players haven't bashed him, but they're not so happy with him. Let's just point out, overall, Chris DeMarco, he made just over $23 million. I don't know about you, Bob, but it seems pretty good. 23 schmil? What do you think?
Yeah, I think so. And I think it's hard for, even if LIV wasn't here, you know, it's always still hard for guys who played at their time and they're seeing, you know, 15, 20 years ago, like Chris DeMarco, and they're seeing what the guys are making now. Yeah, it's not easy to love it, but listen, everybody plays at a certain time, and this is the time when they're playing for a lot more money, and hopefully, and I would have to think that Chris DeMarco has a pretty comfortable life and a pretty comfortable lifestyle, and hey, he's playing for $2 million. Why don't you go down and play on the Korn Ferry Tour or PGA Tour Americas again and see what they're playing for? So he's got it pretty good, and there's no cut, by the way, on the Champions Tour either, so let's not forget that part. You're guaranteed a check every week.
I'm not sure if Chris DeMarco maybe doesn't pay attention to other sports and see how purses, how salaries have increased exponentially in the last 10, 20 years. When you look at the average salary in the NBA, NFL, NHL, et cetera, people just make more money now. There's just more money from TV contracts and everything else. So I don't know. I found these comments really off-putting, really strange. It would have been cool to see Chris DeMarco win a major back in the day. That claw grip certainly helped him in a big, big way. But hey, these were really, really weird. Okay, when we come back here on GTC, we'll kick off hour two with some winners, weird, and what. We'll look ahead to the Valero Texas Open, where Corey Connors is looking to win for the third time at that tournament, and the Z-Man will join the show. All that and more, hour two, in just a couple minutes.
This segment of GTC, presented by TaylorMade, was brought to you by Play Golf Myrtle Beach, the golf capital of the world. Thank you for listening to hour one of GTC. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Golf Talk Canada and subscribe to our YouTube channel. For show archives, podcasts, and all things GTC, visit golftalkcanada.com. And don't miss Golf Talk Canada Television, weekly on the TSN Television Network. This is Hour 2 of Golf Talk Canada, presented by Picton Mahoney Asset Management. For over 18 years, our focus has been on helping Canadians stay invested in all market conditions, including this one. Why Picton Mahoney? Visit PictonMahoney.com. Now, here are your hosts, Mark Sacchino, Bob Weeks, and Adam Scully.
GTC rolls on here with hour two. Adam Scully alongside Bob Weeks. Mark Sacchino joining the show in about 25 minutes time. Coming up in hour two, Mark's take on Scottie Scheffler coming up just short on the PGA Tour, on Nelly Korda winning for the third straight week as well. We'll also look ahead to the Valero Texas Open, preview the Masters as well, where reportedly, a couple of pretty notable players were at Augusta playing Augusta National over the weekend, and another there as we speak, according to the internet, of course. But now let's do kickoff hour two with winners, weird, and what this week. Bob, you have the tee.
So what do I do? Just aim for the pond?
No, you're not supposed to hit it into the water.
But you hit it into the water.
I know I hit it into the water.
Well, why do they even have water if you're not supposed to hit it there?
Because it's fun! We're having fun!
Look, it went further than your ball.
All right, Adam, well, with the verge of the Masters and now upon us, we're almost into the week of the Masters, and I know I'm pretty excited for you because you're going to get to go down there for your first time and see the golf in person, and I can't wait to watch you be like a little kid on Christmas morning. But for those people who can't get to Augusta National and have never been to the Masters, you can still get a little bit of the Masters experience. For this is, I think, the third year now. I think this started in COVID. And I think it's a pretty cool idea. It's basically called Taste the Masters. And this is something that Augusta National has put on. It's only sanctioned, of course, by the Masters. But you can get what they call a large hosting kit, which serves 12 to 14 people. And it includes all the great food that you normally get at Augusta National. Now, there are some specific treats that you get at Augusta National. You don't get hot dogs. You don't get hamburgers. It's always sandwiches. And then they have some other snacks. So here's what the kit includes. It has a little jug of egg salad. I don't know what you call it. A barrel of egg salad. One of pimento cheese. One of pork barbecue. 6 bags of plain potato chips. 6 bags of barbecue chips. 6 cookies. 6 Georgia pecan caramel popcorn bags. Masters branded souvenir cups. Masters branded wax paper. Coasters, a pack of 12. And hosting kit materials. Now, the one thing that's not included is the bread and the buns. But you can basically dine out as if you're at Augusta National. And if it's the same kind of egg salad that that I know and love so well, then it's a pretty good treat. It has all sorts of Masters logos on everything that you get there. So the only downside, and I'm sorry, I should have said this at the start because I'm kind of teasing everybody about this, not available in Canada. But if you happen to be going down in the States and want to take part, you can have a look at it. So would that be on your plate if you could?
Yes, I mean, and to your early point about me going, I couldn't tell you how excited I am. I'm going this coming Saturday morning, and the sleep, I'm not a great sleeper as is, but the anticipation is already beginning. Are you excited to see me act like a kid on a at a candy store for the first time, or have a pimento cheese sandy for the first time?
Both, the whole experience. And everybody who goes, I know what the first thing they always say is. I said, I want you to, when you see the golf course, I want you to think of the first thing that comes to your mind. And I'll have it written down somewhere, and I'll guarantee you it'll match. Because it's always the same thing. I won't say what it is, because I want to, we'll deal with that next week, maybe on our Monday show. But it's a great experience, and I'm glad you're going to be taking part.
Me too.
My weird this week is the finish to the Champions Tour event this week. Speaking of the Champions Tour, as we were before the break, Retief Goosen was the winner, but he didn't really, I wouldn't say he wasn't thinking he was going to be the winner. And both he and Stephen Alker kind of stumbled their way down the stretch. And I'm not sure if you saw it, but Retief Goosen on the last hole, par 5 over water. This is where the at the Mission Hills, where the women used to play. The dinosaur, call it back there, and he hit his ball into the water, his approach shot on the par 5 into the water, but still managed to get up and down for par. Stephen Alker bogeyed the 17th hole, then he hit his ball in the water and also was not able to get up, so he went bogey finish to lose the tournament to Retief Goosen. Was only his second Champions Tour win, never thought he was actually going to win. And in his description of what happened afterwards, he says, well, I wouldn't call it thrilling. I mean, it was more of a disaster for me and Stevie to get the last hole and the last couple of holes. So I love Retief Goosen for his honesty there, and good for him. It wasn't thrilling, I don't think. You wouldn't call that thrilling, would you, Adam?
I wouldn't call it thrilling, and to take a line that you have used on this show before, it's almost like a battle of the Sea Flight Club Championship there down the stretch. hey, you know, good on the guys for having a little fun with it, too.
All right, and my what is, what a celebration we had on Saturday because the City of Toronto Golf Course is opened. So there's Dentonia and Don Valley and Scarlet Woods and Tam O'Shanter and Humber Valley. They're all open for play. You can go out there. It's a little brisk. I don't know. I guess if you played in the middle of the day in the high of the sun, it wouldn't be too bad. But if you're willing to play and you can, if you're near the City of Toronto, get out there and play. It's still a great deal. They've got new managers running all the properties this year, so we're expecting to see some good changes and some big renovations, I guess, to the old courses, and hopefully things will get even better. So enjoy yourself. And Adam, do you remember the last time did you play one of those courses? Have you ever played one? When was the last time you played?
Yeah, so it's funny you mentioned that. So I played Dentonia. It was my first round in Toronto last year. It was in April, and I had shorts on. Some might have called that a little bold because it wasn't the warmest out there. And, of course, my shorts were orange, you know me, and bright colors. But it was fun, and I love whenever I'm in the SportsCenter newsroom and I see our good friend of the show, Rod Smith. He always talks about going to Dentonia and playing. He loves it there, and I'm looking forward to getting out, hopefully getting a chance to go and play any of these courses. And they're great for your game, too, because – you know, yes, the holes are shorter, but those are your most important clubs. Those are your scoring clubs. So go out and enjoy some of these courses that are now open.
All right, the tee is yours.
348. Oh, man, that is sweet.
Making his first appearance in Winners Weird and What in 2024, I'm pretty sure anyway, Bryson DeChambeau. And he's been a mainstay on 3-dub for us over the years. And the last couple of years anyway, for some interesting comments he has made about the official world golf rankings, about golf as a whole. But for me this week, he is my winner. Why is he my winner? Well, he posted a video using the rolled back golf ball, an example of what a rolled back golf ball would be. And you know, we know how far he hits the golf ball. I'm sure his body has gone through a transformation, both becoming the incredible bulk to slimming down, and now he looks relatively quote-unquote normal and very strong, but he still wails away at it and hits it a long way. So taking a look at some of his numbers with the rolled back golf ball versus his current golf ball, his carry with a driver, 16 yards. That's the difference in carry, and 5 miles per hour of ball speed. Why is he my winner? He's my winner because this rollback is so stupid. I hate it so much. You could tell I'm a little passionate about it. I think it's the dumbest thing that golf has ever thought of doing. Why would you want to roll back the golf ball? This makes no sense to me. If you're rolling it back for the longest guys on tour, hey, the shortest guys are also getting shorter too, Bob. This makes no sense.
Yeah, it is kind of nice to see. This is the second person I've seen or heard of doing this. Lucas Glover did the same thing, and he said, now Lucas Glover is kind of an average length driver, but he said his drives were going like 265, 270 instead of like 295, 300, and he said it's going to be a very significant change. And again, I don't know, the PGA Tour I don't think is all in favor of this, so this may not be all cut and dry, but I think it's January of 2028 there's supposed to be when it's supposed to come into use.
Looking forward to ordering 200 dozen TaylorMade golf balls before then and just not telling anyone. Anyway, Bryson DeChambeau, you are my winner this week. Okay, my weird this week, and you mentioned this on our show a couple of weeks ago, Bob, and that's Scottie Scheffler's beard. Now, Scheffler showed up to the Texas Children's Houston Open with a haircut. And I mentioned on this show last week that he was a bit of a different look with more of like a 5 o'clock shadow. The beard was gone. Now, Scottie Scheffler is an incredible golfer, but let's just say his beard trimming ability is not so good. Let's take a listen to Scottie Scheffler talking about his beard.
Well, yeah, it was nice because I didn't have to think about it, but then my beard got so long that it became work, and last week I got a haircut, and then I was thinking about trying to trim it, but I didn't really know how, and so I just shaved it.
I have like 14 follow-up questions to that, but I'll stick with one. I mean, you don't know how to trim it? Bob, does he not know what YouTube is? Does he not know how to look at different... It's so easy. I mean, I've got a beard that I've had for a number of years now. And Scotty, I'll tell you my secret. Once a week, there's a trimmer. There's a setting on it. It tells you how long it is. You buzz away and it's the same thing. Bob, have you ever sported a beard?
I have, not for a long time. And a funny thing there, he said he was getting a haircut. I said, well, why don't you just get your barber to trim it? I mean, how about that?
I mean, I know sometimes it's an extra cost, but I think he's doing okay in that department. Yeah, I think that's fine for him. But anyway, Scotty, I found there's just so many ways he could go with that. But Scotty Scheffler, it's easy. Anyways, my what this week, Justin Thomas. He did a couple of the New York talk shows last week, mainly promoting season two of Full Swing, which we haven't discussed on this show yet. Maybe we'll do that at some point when we know we've all seen all 8 episodes of Full Swing. And Justin Thomas from there went to a couple of New York sporting events, including a Rangers game. And it's become tradition, for whatever reason, whether it's celebrities or people, casual people, when they show them on the Jumbotron, and if they're holding a beer, they decide that they have to chug the beer. I've seen a lot of people chug beers, Bob. Justin Thomas's attempt, and I'm going to call it an attempt, at chugging that beer, it was disgraceful. It was something where it was mind-boggling. We've seen JT shotgun beers better on the first tee of the 2021 Ryder Cup when a fan threw him a beer. Bob, did you see this beer chug, and do you have any tips for Justin on chugging beers?
I did see him, and I thought he was good the first half of it, and then the second half, he got the tilt up too high, so a lot of the beer was spilling out on the side. So the only advice I can say is chugging beer doesn't have to be about speed. It has to be about quality and quantity that you're getting into your mouth. And so I would say just slow it down a touch, not a lot, but just a touch, and then you'll get all of it in your mouth and supposed to down your cheeks and on your shirt.
It's good he had a black shirt on because there was beer everywhere. And JT, if you want some help shotgunning a beer, there's a great video on social media, Mama Skulls shotgunning a beer about 6 or 7 years ago. It took a little bit of time, but there was no beer anywhere but down the gullets. Justin Thomas needs some work on the beer chugging ability. Now, reportedly, Justin Thomas was at Augusta National with one Tiger Woods over the weekend. When we come back here on GTC, a little look ahead to the Masters and this week's Valero Texas Open, where Corey Connors is looking to win that tournament for the 3rd time overall and 2nd straight year. This is Golf Talk Canada.
This segment of GTC was presented by Picton Mahoney Asset Management. For over 18 years, our focus has been on helping Canadians stay invested in all market conditions, including this one. This is Golf Talk Canada, presented by Picton Mahoney Asset Management. This segment of GTC is brought to you by Cobble Beach, Georgian Bay's extraordinary waterfront golf resort community. To learn more about their award-winning golf course and growing community, visit cobblebeach.com today.
Welcome back inside GTC. Scully and Weeks here. Zucchino joining in our next segment. Looking forward to getting to Cobble Beach, by the way, at some point here very soon. This week on the PGA Tour, Valero Texas Open, but all eyes on the Masters next week. And according to some rumors, reporters, Justin Thomas and Tiger Woods were together at Augusta National playing golf, we think, over the weekend at Augusta National. It's so hard to ask you, Bob, what do you expect from Tiger Woods? Because the last time we saw him, he was face in palm, reportedly after puking at the Genesis Invitational. We assume the stomach is a lot better now, hopefully for his sake. We've seen images of Tiger at his son Charlie, one of his awards last week, and he looked good. There's no video of him walking, but how hard is it to have expectations for Tiger this week or next week? Sorry.
It's a little hard because I think we all know where Tiger's abilities are. I mean, he's certainly not going in well-practiced or well-playing anyway, with a lot of teams behind him, a lot of reps. So there's that. But anytime you put Tiger at Augusta National, I think there's always a chance for a little bit of magic to happen. I'm not saying he's going to win the slip green jacket, but I think there's the stat that he's only missed one cut, and that was when he was an amateur. So I think there's always a lot of anticipation surrounding Tiger Woods, and it's nice to see him having a practice round, which I think we all can sort of read between the lines and say, at least we know he's going to be playing. That's the one good thing about it.
Yeah, and there's lots of Tiger Masters related content coming out on SportsCenter this week, as soon as tomorrow, maybe on SportsCenter. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. Justin Thomas was there with Tiger Woods. And apparently Rory McIlroy is there as we speak. And Rory is always a huge story heading into the Masters as he looks to complete the career Grand Slam. He won earlier in 2024 on the DP World Tour. But since then on the PGA Tour, it's been a whole lot of MIA. What do you expect from Rory McIlroy, if anything, heading into the Masters?
It's hard to know because, as you said, you know, he's a miscut and then he's runner-up, a backdoor runner-up. But, you know, he's sort of had this feast or famine for the last few iterations, and he's looked for trying to find ways to get it over. And he admitted that, you know, a lot of times he goes there thinking winning too much. And he gave a great example where I think it was on day two last year where he was on one green and he looked over and saw Brooks Koepka at 10 under. And he was saying, my God, I'm 9 shots back already. And it's Friday. I got to press, which you don't, of course, normally have to do at Augusta National, or you can't do that well at Augusta National. Let's put it that way. So I think he's just trying to find a way to make it work. This year, he's been playing a lot more. That was his strategy going into Augusta National. He wanted to have all parts of his game either working or wanting to know what he had to do to fix the parts of his game that haven't been working. We've seen a lot of those iron shots to the left, which he's been trying to iron out. So I don't know. It's just you can't predict what's going to happen. He could miss the cut, or he could be in a green jacket on Sunday.
That'd be a really cool story if he could at least get in contention. And to your point about the backdoor runner-up a couple of years ago when Scottie Scheffler won, Scheffler won by 3 shots over Rory, but we have to remember Scheffler did 4 putt on the 72nd hole at the Masters that year, which made that a little closer, at least it appeared from the outset. But Rory McIlroy is in the field this week at the Valero Texas Open. And as we always do here on GTC, our Wednesday show will be, a lot of it will be dedicated to looking and previewing that tournament on the PGA Tour, Valero Texas Open, where Rory McIlroy right now is the betting favorite on FanDuel. His odds are +750. Now, the player with the second shortest odds is Ludvig Åberg at +1200 right now on FanDuel. And he is so fascinating, Bob, because he has never played in a major championship. He's won on the DP World Tour. He's won on the PGA Tour. He's making his major debut.
He won a Ryder Cup.
Won a Ryder Cup. Helped Europe in a big way. He was a stud on that Ryder Cup team as well. Heading into his first major, I mean, this guy shocked us already so far early in his career. Would you be surprised to see Ludvig in the mix next Sunday or 2 Sundays from now at the Masters?
Maybe not in the mix. I think it's a tall task to ask him to win. You know, there's so few. I think there's only 2 guys. There's really only one. There's Fuzzy Zeller back in 1978 or 79, who won in his first trip around. There's just so much to learn at Augusta National. And I think it can kind of humble you the first couple times you go around. Having said that, he is an exceptionally talented player. He has a lot of game. He's got a lot of smarts about his game. So maybe he'll do something magical. But I would say, being in the hunt, yeah, I think he could be in there. But winning, I would say that would be a bit of a stretch.
Ludvig Åberg right now +1200 on FanDuel for this week on the PGA Tour. Ludvig Åberg joining us on Golf Talk Canada both tomorrow night and Wednesday throughout TV and radio. We spoke with Ludvig Åberg back in January on Adidas with their global launch. Okay, before we wrap here, we have to talk about Corey Connors, because Corey Connors is playing this week. Corey Connors, hey, he's the defending champion this week. Hey, Corey Connors has 3 career top 10s at the Masters. So this is the Corey Connors time of year. Coming off a good finish at the Players' Championship, Bob, it seems like Corey Connors is trending big time right now. What do you think about his odds and chances this week?
Well, you got to like a guy who's up playing on a course where he's won twice. That's always a good part of it. I think his game is peaking at the right time. I think in talking to him a little bit, he was really disappointed last year at the Masters at missing the cut after 3 top 10 finishes. consecutively, but I think he likes this Texas golf course, obviously. And the biggest question I asked him, what about winning for the third time? We were joking around. I said, because the winner gets a pair of cowboy boots at this tournament. And I sort of said to him, well, what did you get for the second time? And he said, well, I got a different kind of cowboy boots. And so now he's got one in his set in his Florida home and one set in his Listowel home. And I asked him, he said, what happens when you win for the third time? He says, I don't know, I'll have to find out. So that's always a bit of optimism right there. But he is playing some good golf right now. And he's, you know, putter, he lives and dies with that. But if, again, like a little bit like Scotty Scheffler, you know, if he's mediocre with that, he's got a chance.
Corey Connors plus 2,500 right now on FanDuel heading into this week at the Valero Texas Open. Well, Bob, thanks for your time this morning. It's been another fun one, my friend. We'll see you both tomorrow night, 10 p.m. TSN2, and we'll also talk to you Wednesday at 10 a.m. right here on the TSN Radio Network. Thanks for your time today.
Thank you. Have a great day, everybody.
Okay, you as well, my friend. Okay, that is Bob Weeks. When we come back here on GTC, the Z-Man, Mark Sacchino, going to join the show.
This segment of GTC, presented by Picton Mahoney Asset Management, was brought to you by Cobble Beach, Georgian Bay's extraordinary waterfront golf resort community. This is Golf Talk Canada, presented by Picton Mahoney Asset Management. This segment of GTC is brought to you by Cadillac and the all-electric vehicles that get you in the game. From Lyric to the first-ever Escalade IQ, there will be a Cadillac EV icon for you.
Welcome back inside GTC. Scully here in studio. Thanks again to Bob for his time this morning. Well, Steven Yeager, a winner for the first time on the PGA Tour, beating a host of guys down the stretch, including world number one, Scotty Scheffler. And shortly after the PGA Tour event, the Texas Children's Houston Open wrapped up on Sunday, I had a chance to chat with our own Mark Sacchino about the tournament, what went down, and what's next for Scotty Scheffler.
All right, for a full recap of the Texas Children's Houston Open, let's bring Mark Sacchino into the conversation. Mark, since we last spoke on radio on Wednesday, we were discussing your preview of day two in the gym. I want to ask you about that first. How has the gym progress been since we last spoke?
I've only been one time since we spoke last.
That's fine.
So, yeah, I've been doing a heavy workload, especially Thursday and Friday, PGA Tour Live. We get to the studio about 7:30 a.m. Eastern, and then we get out of there around 5:30. So it's like a 12-hour day. Trying to keep it going and going to go this week, going to try to get some visits in as well. I'll be working the Valero Texas Open, then meeting you at Augusta National. And then finally making my way home. Adam, I'm at the end of the rope. It's time to get back to Toronto. I'm fried. But so far, so good. Haven't hurt myself. So good. We'll see how this goes, right? So.
Yeah, absolutely. It's all progress. It's all anytime you can get the gym, that is a good sign. But let's get to the golf. And earlier in the show, Bob and I spoke at length about that final round and what a finish down the stretch. And obviously, Steven Yeager won this golf tournament, but Scotty Scheffler, that close to winning three straight tournaments. Mm-hmm. Just overall, what did you make of Scotty's week?
I think Scotty Scheffler almost won three tournaments in a row with his C game.
Yeah.
I mean, his ball striking numbers in Scotty Scheffler terms were as bad as they can be. He was missing greens early in the week, multiple double bogeys, including the one that was, you know, late on Friday that ended the streak. It was going to be 29 rounds in a row of under par to start a PGA Tour season. 28 was already a record by a lot going back to 1983 when we were keeping this data. So you think Tiger Woods, you think Rory McIlroy, Nick Faldo, you know, and Seve Ballesteros. Nope, Scotty Scheffler, he's the guy, right? 28 in a row, and he three putts from what, 6 feet on Friday night? Yeah, to end the streak. And So his ball striking's off, lapses in concentration, big lapses in concentration. On Saturday, very unlucky at 15 to make that double bogey at 15, unlucky, but the mistake is not hitting it past the hole. I mean, everybody knows that the yardage and the footage in front of that hole location on Saturday night at 15 is not real. Everybody knows that's a false front. It isn't real. Ignore it. Anything 10 to 15 past the flag is exceptional. Anything more than that is smart. Okay. Most guys are hitting that 20, 25 feet when they're hitting their spot. And this was a hole that was 121 yards on Saturday night. So again, he wasn't sharp. He wasn't thinking clearly. And then let's fast forward to, Sunday night. You've got just flighted a lovely iron shot, one of the best iron shots he really hit all day in the final round. And that was a horrible stroke. That was a tentative putting stroke. That's the putting stroke we, kind of saw back at the end of last year. Very tentative and kind of limped up to the front edge. If he had to hit that putt with any pace, it was in all the way. It missed because he didn't hit it with speed. So, I mean, I guess there's a lot of negatives. And it's hilarious to say this because there's a lot of negatives. In fact, I think there was more negatives this week than positives. And he came within one shot of winning three in a row. So after the Players' Championship, he didn't touch club for 5, 6 days. He told everybody that. He barely put in any work in before on his way to Houston. And rightfully so. I mean, coming off two massive wins, I think this week is kind of another, I don't want to call it a wake up call because he doesn't need a wake up call. He's the best player in the world by a long shot. He almost won three in a row. But this is like, okay, got to get back to work, got to get things sharp. I'm not sharp right now. We got to get back into form, get ready for Augusta. The best thing in the world for him might have been to not win this week. Because winning this week with his C game may have given him a false sense of security or a false sense that he was where he needed to be. And now that he can look back at this as potentially one that got away, he probably is going to be very sharp when we get to Augusta.
Yeah, that's an interesting mindset and something that I noticed. I mean, A, that putt on the 72nd hole, he really showed that heel miss that he was fighting with the blade, where because that thing took off left and early and did not touch the hole from 6.5, 7 feet at the most, which was not his finest hour. But we saw a lot of frustration out of Scotty this week. We saw thrown clubs. I can't recall the last time I saw Scotty Scheffler throw a club. In your mind, is the frustration, is there anything to make more of that?
I don't really know. It's weird. I don't know. Unless now he has just gotten to a level in his head. And if this is the case, it might be scary for everybody. If he's gotten to the point now where he just bloody expects to win and hit it perfect every time he goes out, that's a scary proposition. I don't know what to make with it. Was he putting in some work after rounds and not seeing results? Was he confused? I don't know. I don't know that. I think one of Scotty's superpowers is kind of letting things go and having a short-term memory and not being affected by these things. So I don't think that's a great sign. He kind of had, in a way, he's got that Dustin Johnson mentality. In a way, when DJ won three in a row back in 2017, before he fell down the staircase at Augusta, I used to say he had the mind of a goldfish, right? Look, there's a castle. Look, there's a castle. Look, there's a castle, right? Doesn't remember the good ones, doesn't remember the bad ones. And that can be a superpower of the game of golf. And I think Scottie Scheffler has certainly part of that to his repertoire. So I don't know if showing that kind of anger or frustration is good for Scotty. We'll see.
Yeah, I'm fascinated to see Scottie Scheffler at the Masters. And to your point too, to have that mentality of, coming from behind and needing to work harder
finishing second or T2 with four other players with your C game could be a scary sight come Augusta National in just over a week. Now, many interesting notables here, and I want to ask you about this Alejandro Tosti, because a little feisty exchange with Tony Finau on Saturday, and this is a guy who's not the tallest guy in the world, absolutely bombs it off the tee with a very short swing, bogeys the 72nd hole, but I think this is a guy we might be seeing a lot of here going forward, because he showed a lot of stones down the stretch, didn't he?
Well, he certainly got an edge to him. He certainly got a lot of firepower. And I think the exchange with Tony Finau affected Tony. You know, Tony's one of the nicest human beings in the world. One of the nicest guys out there. You can't find anybody to say anything bad about Tony Finau. And I'm wondering if it really affected his play. The Saturday, Tony Finau was not good. And look at his ball striking numbers for Tony Finau through the first 36 holes. And of course, tying his own course record, which he shares with Scottie Scheffler, the 62 on Friday. Nothing makes sense about Tony Finau's performance on Saturday. You could have told me on Saturday that Finau's putter was going to go cold again. I would believe that, because Tony Finau is hot and cold with the putter. But there were no signs at all that would suggest that Tony Finau was going to melt down with his ball striking on Saturday. And it was horrible. And I got to think that part of the dynamics in that group certainly affected Tony and then the exchange. Tosti's got firepower. He's got an edge to him. But he's got a reputation.
Yeah.
And their reputation is already out on tour, on the big tour. And apparently, you know, if you believe the stories and you believe some of the information that we've heard on the ground, they've got a team of people on him all the time to monitor his attitude, his language. Like, he kind of lives at a boiling point. And I don't think this is going to be the last we see of an exchange like that. He's got sandpaper. And I think that's the first of many uncomfortable situations on the golf course with Alejandro Tosti. So I think he's either got to learn to curb that and realize that he's on the PGA Tour, and this is the world's most professional tour, or he's going to run into problems out there. Because these guys, yeah, it's a lot more friendly environment than it was 20 years ago. You know, 20 years ago, he might not even have lasted this long, you know, with the way the guys, there was a lot of, you know, sandpaper out there, not a ton of friendships. Now the guys out there are, you know, you got JT and Jordan. And I mean, it's a much friendlier PGA Tour than it ever was. Look at Rory McIlroy. I mean, when guys used to play against guys like Tiger Woods, they'd be intimidated and freaking out. And now guys can't wait to play in a time with Rory. Right. So it's a different world. That being said, they're not going to put up with Tosti and that kind of crap too long. So we'll see. Something we're going to watch for. Here's my take on it, Adam. My guess is he pops up in three dub winners where what a few times this year.
Interesting. And you wonder if a lot of former quote-unquote villains have left the PGA Tour and gone to live. Maybe Alejandro Tosti is the next villain on the PGA Tour. We shall see. Now, we spent a lot of last Wednesday show, both radio and TV, talking about Canadian Mackenzie Hughes. He finished T14. Now, he needed a two-way tie for second or a W this week to get into the Masters. Mackenzie Hughes, 66, 72, 69, 65, a T14. So still a good finish. Max still playing a lot of good golf right now, but just couldn't quite qualify for the Masters through this week.
Yeah, another good week. I didn't see him hit a single shot this week. So I didn't look at his numbers. So I don't have his stats in front of me. The thing that I find interesting is that I'm not sure we can take anything out of this week. And the reason I say that is the reason he didn't win in the Valspar is because he couldn't find a fairway all week. His driving was horrible at Copperhead. And that his iron play was great. His putting was great. It was the off the tee that held him back. Here at Memorial Park Golf Course, I mean, these are some of the widest fairways you see on the PGA Tour. There was no rough out there whatsoever. They're trying to simulate a lot of the conditions we're going to see at Augusta. So his driving numbers, even if they're better this week, Adam, I don't know if it means anything. So my guess is he's likely in the field at Valero. And if he's not now, he might add himself to the field at Valero, try to pull a Corey Connors, punch your ticket to Augusta. That is a hard driving golf course at TPC San Antonio. If you watch it on TV, it doesn't look like a hard driving golf course. It doesn't look like a Valspar or a Hilton Head or where you're hitting it down corridors. But if you talk to the guys that have played there and guys that have participated at TPC San Antonio, I had dinner last night with Graham Dillette, who's going to be with us in Augusta, and he's with me this week on PGA Tour Live. And he told me, I hated the place. I couldn't get lined up off the tee. The place felt claustrophobic. Dennis Paulson, who lives just down the road from TPC San Antonio, echoed those statements. He said it's just one of the most awkward driving golf courses on the PGA Tour. And that, from your mind standpoint, sitting back looking at it, it's hard to make sense of that. Because like, but apparently, once you get inside the ropes there, it's a tough place to maneuver. So if McKenzie goes there, plays well, drives it well at Valero, we know that there's been improvement. We know that there's been building blocks. If he doesn't play Valero, we got to wait till the next time we see him, and we'll take a look at and see what he's doing off the tee. This week, really hard to get a gauge to see if there was any improvement at all from the tee.
Yeah, 32nd strokes gained off the tee this week and 43rd strokes gained putting. He was 70th in strokes gained off the tee the week before. So, a lot of things could be said about that for Mackenzie Hughes. Mark, thanks for your time today. We'll talk to you again Wednesday for GTC Radio.
Thanks, Carlos.
Awesome stuff there from the Z-Man. Okay, when we come back here on GTC, a little preview of our TV and radio shows coming up this week, and we'll look ahead to the Masters, and I'll give you our schedule from Golf Talk Canada for Masters Week. This is Golf Talk Canada.
This segment of GTC, presented by Picton Mahoney Asset Management, was brought to you by Cadillac's all-electric vehicles that get you in the game. Choose from a $750 credit with Flow or installation of a Level 2 home charging capability from Qmerit when you purchase or lease a new Cadillac LYRIQ. This is Golf Talk Canada, presented by Picton Mahoney Asset Management. This segment of GTC is brought to you by Adidas Golf and the new Tour 360 24. Tour 360 raises the bar of premium high-performing golf shoe with its improved traction, stability, and comfort, wrapping you with all the confidence you need on the course. Elevate your game with a pair this season by visiting adidas.ca/tour360 to learn more.
Wrapping up today's edition of Golf Talk Canada with some leaderboard updates brought to you by Bushnell Golf, the number one range finder in the world of golf. Check out bushnellgolf.com for much more information on that. For championship LPGA Tour, Nelly Korda wins for the third straight time on the LPGA Tour, a two-shot victory over Hira Navid. Nelly Korda, now a three-time winner on the LPGA Tour this season, looking to win her fourth straight tournament this week on the LPGA Tour. On the PGA Tour, Steven Yeager, a winner on the PGA Tour for the first time in his career, a one-shot victory over five players, including world number one Scottie Scheffler, who was looking to win his third straight tournament. The other players coming T2, Alejandro Tosti, Thomas Dietrich, Taylor Moore, and Tony Finau. On PGA Tour Americas, the Total Play Championship at Atlas Country Club in Guadalajara, where Jose Rodriguez, a one-shot victory. On PGA Tour Americas, Canadian Matthew Anderson, the top Canuck there, he finished two shots off the lead. Now, you all know that we have PGA Tour Americas winners on our show weekly. Jose Rodriguez does not speak English, so that is the reason we did not have him on our show today. PGA Tour Champions, the Gallery Classic, Retief Goosen, the winner there, a one-shot victory over Ricardo Gonzalez, Stephen Elker, and Alex Chaika. And as Bob mentioned, in winners, weird and what, bit of a interesting finish down the stretch on PGA Tour champions. Okay, next week, it's the Masters. And as Bob mentioned before as well, my first time at Augusta National, I can't tell you all how excited I am to go to the Masters for the first time. We'll have a lot of really cool content coming early next week from the Masters. As for us on Golf Talk Canada, here is our Masters schedule. Next Monday, 10 a.m. on the TSN Radio Network. Next Tuesday, April 9th, 10 p.m., TSN 2. Next Wednesday, April 10th, a triple header. And note the times here, a little different than you're used to. 8 a.m., TSN 5, you can watch us. 10 a.m., TSN 2, simulcast, radio to TV, TSN Radio Network. And 11 p.m., TSN 2, you can also watch us next week as we preview the Masters. Thanks so much for joining us this morning. We are back on television tomorrow night and as well right here on the TSN Radio Network at 10 a.m. on Wednesday. Thanks for joining us this morning. And remember, the first good decision for the golf course, it always starts in the closet.
This segment of GTC, presented by Picton Mahoney Asset Management, was brought to you by Adidas Golf and the new Tour 360 24. Tour 360 raises the bar of premium high-performing golf shoe with its improved traction, stability, and comfort, wrapping you with all the confidence you need on the course. Elevate your game with a pair this season by visiting adidas.ca/tour360 to learn more. Thank you for listening to GTC. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Golf Talk Canada and subscribe to our YouTube channel. For show archives, podcasts, and all things GTC, visit GolfTalkCanada.com. And don't miss Golf Talk Canada Television, weekly on the TSN Television Network.